I'm going to share the word with you tonight. I'm going to speak on something that's in my heart for quite a while. And, you know, it links to the previous two sermons Andrew and I did on being set free from certain things in our lives. And tonight, okay, you can't really see that on the screen, but I'm going to talk on being set free from disappointment. Now, disappointment can take various forms. It can, you know, can take various emotions in your heart, but it's something that I've discovered in my walk with the Lord. It can be such a huge block to actually carry on with your life and carry on with your walk with God, because there's something in your heart that's blocking the progress you want to make. And tonight I want to call that disappointment. Okay, you can call it, you know, some people call it an offense. I'm not going to talk about being offended tonight. I want to call it, you know, you're disappointed. And when I was 10 years old, I was diagnosed with a certain skin condition called psoriasis. I know many of you maybe have not heard of it at all in your life. It's interesting when you go to the book of Leviticus, you know, when they have this, all these chapters about leprosy and how you need to treat a person with leprosy, which is obviously a quite, you know, serious disease. They say in the footnotes that the word leprosy was used for various skin diseases, and one of those skin diseases was actually psoriasis, that thing that I was diagnosed with. And, you know, at its worst, the thing that I have can look quite bad, okay? Especially if, you know, I think maybe in Bible days, they could have actually got it wrong sometimes. And the poor person didn't actually have leprosy, but the person had some other skin problem. And it could possibly have been psoriasis, this thing that I have. But in any case, I was 10 years old. I ended up in hospital at about 12 years for 2 weeks because it was so bad. It's not anything contagious, so don't worry. Nothing contagious, but at its worst, it can look very bad. I ended up, as I say, in hospital. It was all over my whole body, my scalp, everything. I was a little girl, and it was a big thing for me to deal with. It was what it basically comes down to. It's your skin that reproduces itself 6 times faster than normal. Okay, I mean, maybe you would have noticed from time to time that your skin reproduces itself. It's normal and it's healthy, but this thing. Your skin reproduces itself 6 times faster. So now these sores on the outer layer of your skin, they appear little sores. It's literally like a little sore. It's very itchy. It's sore. And it looks terrible. It looks terrible. So this was something I had to deal with since I was this little girl. And I mean, I always looked at girls with these amazing skins, you know, flawless skin, and I thought they're so beautiful. You know, and I had to deal with this thing. And, you know, especially at school, it was always so embarrassing for me because, I mean, now I can hide it as best as I can. And it comes and it goes. But at school, you wear these little short dresses all the time, obviously. And you do sport in little dresses. And at winter, the skin problem is the worst, unfortunately, because the sun, the natural sunlight actually helps. There's no medical solution. There's nothing medically that they've found that actually solves it, which in my heart just tells me that this is really not of God. Sickness is not of the Lord. But this is something I have to deal with. I'm turning 34 this year, so I've been dealing with this thing in my life for 24 years now. And, you know, my worst nightmare was always when I will meet my husband one day, you know, because it's a problem that comes and goes in my situation. It sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. And, you know, I have this big fear in my heart that one day I'm going to meet my husband to be, and my skin will be okay, it will be fine. And then a month or two or three or six or a year later, you know, my skin will go through a bad patch, and then this man is going to get the fright of his life and gonna run away. You know, so what happened with me and Andre when we started dating, my skin, it was in my honors here at varsity. My skin was actually a time when it was at its worst. my skin looked terrible. And I thought to myself, okay, if this man still wants to be with me, then maybe, you know, it's worth it. Maybe he's gonna stick with me, you know, through thick and thin, if he can deal with this, because it was quite bad. And, you know, so it was for me, it was in a sense as if God just made it work out that way, for him to see it at its worst and then made up his mind that, you know, he still loves me. But in any case, this is my story. And the reason why I'm telling you this is I can very easily take this thing. You know, I'm still not healed. It comes and it goes, as I say. But in 24 years of my life, I've tried many things. I've tried many things in the natural, many things in the spiritual. Many people prayed for me. Many people with lots of faith prayed for me. I prayed. I did many things. At a stage, I felt that God's telling me, do this or do that. You know, go and baptize yourself 7 times in the Stellenbosch Dam, for those of you who know Stellenbosch. Like Naaman. Is it Naaman? How do you pronounce that? Naaman. Okay, Naaman, for those of you Afrikaans. Yeah, the skin thing, and, you know, the prophet had to dip him 7 times in the river. In any case, he got healed. I thought, this is the word for me, God. I fasted and I prayed, and, you know, and for some reason, after 24 years of seeking God in this area of my life, I'm still not healed. Now, what something like this can very easily shock your faith. It can shatter, actually, that's the best word. It can shatter your faith. You know, even though that's a small thing, I mean, I can think of many worse diseases that somebody can have. But for me, that's something that's, I've been carrying it with me for 24 years, and I'm still not healed. Okay? Now, something like this can very easily make you feel disappointed in God. Because obviously, God can do all things. Obviously, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Obviously, God can do all things, and he wants to heal us. Okay? So I just want to make it clear that sickness, God is not happy with sickness. All through the Bible, Jesus healed everywhere, you know. He healed everybody who came to him, he healed. It is hard for us to walk in healing. So I just want to emphasize that, all right. But somehow and sometimes we sit with something. It can be sickness, it can be many things. And I'm going to touch on quite a few things tonight. But something that can shatter your faith in the Lord. And you're sitting with this thing in your stomach almost. You struggle to you kind of bury it, because obviously God must be good and he must be faithful, you know, all those wonderful things about the Lord that you believe, but deep down in your heart you doubt if God is really there for you because of that thing that happened or that thing that is not sorted out. Okay? And disappointment, you know, it's basically the best I can describe it to you. It's an expectation you have, and the expectation does not get met. All right? It's an expectation. So if you have an expectation of if I have an expectation of my little boy, okay, 16 months old, you know, I don't have a huge expectation of him. He can just be. I mean, I don't have all these expectations for him at 16 months. He just started walking. I mean, I'm not expecting him now to do all these amazing things. So he's not going to disappoint me if he doesn't do it. Okay, so my expectation of him is relatively low at this stage. Now, when it comes to my husband, you know, he's the most amazing person. He's the coolest pastor I know. I say that often, but he is really. But in any case, my expectation of him is high, I'm telling you. Very high. Now, that is good and bad. So if he doesn't come to that expectation I have, I can very easily be disappointed. Okay? My expectation of him is much higher than that of my little boy. Now, when it comes to God, our expectation of God is even higher. Would you agree with that? I mean, God is awesome. Okay? God is amazing. God is God. He's perfect. He's His love is He is everything that we would like to have and to be. That is God. So expectation of Him is far beyond anything that we can ever put on a person. But now, unfortunately, if our expectation of God does not get met, that thing in our heart, that unmet expectation, can be so much worse to deal with. All right, are you following me? It can be so much more difficult to deal with something where you've been disappointed in God than with any person, even with your spouse, even with your parents. So I want to ask you, I mean, have you ever been disappointed in your life? I think all of us have somewhere in our life, maybe your parents, maybe a teacher. Maybe you had this amazing teacher and you thought it's the most amazing person on this planet. And then one day, the person did something or say something and your world falls apart. Because how on earth can that happen? This is the most amazing teacher I've ever had. Or your parents, or your spouse, or your best friend. I think many of us have best friend disappointments. You had this best friend and you, from your side, you put everything into a relationship and now all of a sudden, you just get disappointed. But tonight I want to focus on disappointment that you had somewhere in your life with God. Okay, specifically I want to focus on that. And maybe, I'm going to touch on quite heavy subjects tonight. But this is what I feel God wants me to focus on. Maybe you've been trusting God for a while now, for a couple of years to get married, for a husband or for a wife. And it's not happening. Okay, maybe you feel deep down in your heart that God somewhere is not with you in this game of seeking your life partner. I mean, or maybe you may be married, maybe you struggle to have children. And I mean, I know people who struggle to have children, and it's God's will for us to multiply the earth. It was the very first commandment, go and multiply the earth. Now you can't have children. Okay, it's a deep thing. I'm telling you, all of those of you who are single, you never think about things like that. You just think, one day I'm going to have children. And you get married, and maybe one day. And then when the time starts for you to get children, and it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to work out, it's a big thing. And it happens to more people than you might think. But in any case, maybe you're trusting God for financial breakthrough. It's not happening. Maybe somebody in your family is going through the one bankruptcy after the other. And, you're sitting with all these major things in your life and you don't see God anywhere in the picture. Okay, but you're walking with God. I'm talking to believers tonight. Okay, I'm talking to somebody who's actually following the Lord. Maybe in my case, you're trusting the Lord now for a couple of years to get healed from something. And it's not happening. All right, so I want you to picture yourself in that situation. Maybe you feel some different scenario. Maybe you feel that something has been taken away from you through divorce. Okay, maybe your parents are divorced. Maybe you yourself got divorced. Maybe something has been taken away from you in that scenario. Or maybe something has been taken away from you through death. Okay, a friend, family member, a child. This is massive things that one needs to deal with. Maybe you feel that something has been taken away from you through circumstances. You broke up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and, you just feel something has been taken away from you. Or maybe you feel that as a child or somewhere in your life, you've been abused physically, sexually, emotionally. You've been abused, okay? And you feel something has been taken away from you. Your innocence, your childlikeness, your picture of life. Somewhere it's been distorted, okay? So whatever maybe your story, because I know all of us have stories, say? Life is a journey. And Jesus says He's come to give us abundant life. But He never promised us a life without difficulties and without tribulation. Okay, if you go and read the Bible, all the Bible characters went through extreme times of testing and tribulation. So Jesus came to give us abundant life in those situations. All right, so it's never promised us a life free of crying, free of any difficult challenge. But the problem is when we lose hope, or when we are disappointed with God, disappointed in God, two things happen. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. Because I've been praying about this for quite a bit. And I really feel that God wants to heal people from that something in your heart that you don't know how to deal with it, because the pain and the sorrow goes so deep. It goes so deep. And you can't even go to God, because deep in your heart you blame Him. All right? Deep in your heart you feel that God is responsible for this pain, or God could have prevented this pain. This is what you feel deep in your heart. You don't even want to say it to anybody, because obviously God is good. But deep in your heart you feel God is not coming through for you, or He dropped you. Somewhere along the line, He dropped you badly. Okay? This is how you feel. This is how you experience it. And you're almost too ashamed to say that, because God is good and God is faithful. Okay? And that is the truth. But you're sitting with this pain and you're sitting with this disappointment in God, and you need to deal with that. And the problem with disappointment in God is, as I say, you lose hope. You lose hope because often God was your last hope. God was your last hope, and you lost that hope. And as I say, you sit with this pain so deep, you don't know what to do with it. Because you don't even want to go to God, because He's the source, you believe. He is the source of that pain. So I want to talk to you about, how do you restore that hope? How do you restore that hope in the Lord? And I want to take you to a scripture in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, that says, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Because you see, in that scripture, it's very clear that that is the secret to your heart's desires. Okay? If you delight yourself in the Lord, then your heart's desires are going to follow. Okay, that's very clear. But how do you delight yourself in the Lord? Okay, that's the $1 million question. That's the secret for us to receive our heart's desires, whether it is healing, whether it is your life partner, whether it is financial breakthrough, whether it is just emotional healing from something that happened to you, whatever your desire is tonight. This scripture says we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. Now I want to explain to you what, you know, I delight myself in God, how it makes sense to me. First of all, you have to believe, you have to know God's character. Okay, you can't delight yourself in something that is bad. You can't delight yourself in something that's going to disappoint you. You're going to delight yourself in something or somebody that is trustworthy, that is faithful, that is good. Okay, and that is, and I want you to listen carefully now, okay, because I want to shatter a few lies tonight that the devil brings to us. We have to choose to believe that God is for you, okay? We have to choose to believe that God is for you. God is for you, and He has your best interest at heart. Now, for those of you who have children, you know, I'm starting to understand this better now that we have a little boy. You never ever deliberately gonna harm your child. Not a loving parent. And I know it happens. I know abuse happens in families, but a loving parent. I mean, do you all agree with me that God is love? Can I just get a one amen? Yay, hallelujah. God is a loving parent to His children, okay? So a loving parent will never deliberately harm His children. But now if you see Vian, it's our boy, I mean, he's now brave. Eh? He can walk now. He climbs on the chair outside, our table and chairs outside the house, climbs on the chair, climbs on the table, and now he runs around on the table, you know. it's something to see, and it makes me a bit nervous. But you know, he thinks he can do everything. He wants to play with everything. He wants to play with a glass of water, with scissors, knives, anything, you know, that looks exciting that he wants to play with. Now, as a loving parent, I'm not going to allow him to play with all those things. And I'm going to take him off the table outside if I get the idea he's going to fall off, okay? And you must see him now. He's getting into a stage of throwing tantrums. It's a new thing for me. I need to deal with it. My child's throwing tantrums. And the majority of the time when he throws a tantrum is when he doesn't get his way. And when I'm taking something away from him, or I'm not allowing him to get or to do something for his own benefit. Okay? And I need you to picture a parent that is really, for those of you not parents, you need to click. You need to just to know that God will never deliberately harm you. Okay? Sin, sickness, sorrow, these things that we experience on earth is not God's heart, his intention, or his fault. We have to know that. We have to know that God has your best interest at heart, like a good parent for his child. You need to make a choice to believe it. You can't look at the world and see and say, where's God? You have to make a choice to believe that God is good. And then you also need to believe that God is not only good for other people. And I want you to listen carefully now, because this is a big lie that the devil brings to all of us. It says that God, the lie says God is good, yes, but not for me. Look at my life. God is good for other people. Look at her life. I mean, everything always goes right for her. Look at his life. Even the gouden lepel in die mond kind of story. You know, everything always goes right for that person. I'm telling you tonight, everybody's got his story. Everyone on this earth has got a story to tell about challenges, sorrow, pain, something they went through that they had to deal with. But we need to believe that God is not only good for other people, God is good for me. Okay, it's very, very important for us to know that, because it's a lie that the devil brings that, yes, God is good, but only for other people. So we need to make a decision to believe that God is good. And then we need to know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You know, and that is my scripture, Romans 28 verse 8, that I hold on, that God will work even something that went wrong in your life. He will work it together for good. That is the God that I serve. I'm telling you, every sorrow, everything, this skin problem of mine, it has brought me closer to God. It taught me so much that nothing else could have taught me. It taught me so much. You know, and I know God is turning around for my good. And I know God wants to heal me, and I know that he can, and I will not stop believing him for that. But until that time, I'm going to thank him, not for what I don't have, but for what I have. Okay, and that is the key. That is the key to delight yourself in the Lord. To first of all, just know that God is good. Okay? And to confess it and to believe it and not to receive a lie that God is not good. Or maybe only good for other people. And then the second thing is to thank him. To thank him in your circumstances. And say, God, yes, I don't have a boyfriend. But you know, God, I have you. I have a wonderful job. I have fellowship. I have a church, God, where people support me. I give this boyfriend thing to you, or girlfriend. I give it to you, God. And you know my taste. You know my heart. You made me. You put me together. You're going to give me the right person at the right time. And I'm going to delight myself in you. I'm going to confess that you are good, that you're for me, that you're with me. And I'm going to thank you not for what I don't have, but for what I have. And it's difficult, I'm telling you, because for each of us, maybe the married people think, oh, these single people, they must just get over their boyfriend-girlfriend issues. And you know, for you, it's real. For you, it's a major thing in your life, you know. Or maybe if you don't have children, it's a major thing for you. But you know what? God knows it's a major thing for you. He knows it's your deepest, deepest desire. Or He knows that thing that happened 12 years ago that nobody knows about except you and maybe your mom. He knows it was your deepest, darkest moment. He knows that. Okay? And He knows that you want to get free. He knows you want to get healed. He knows you want to put it behind you. God knows that desire in your heart. But the key to get that desire is to delight yourself in Him and to thank Him. All right? God is not saying, oh, you know, just forget about your desire and just get over your issues. This is not the God that we serve. But God wants you to, God wants to turn your focus from your needs and your desire to who He is and that He is faithful. And for you to focus on what you have now and to trust Him until that time is right for you to receive your healing, to receive your financial breakthrough, to receive your first child, that God is good and He's with you and He's blessing you, but you can miss it altogether. You can be so focused on that one thing that you miss God's goodness altogether. And He's blessing you in the meantime, but you miss it and you don't see it. You know, trust in Him also, that scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, trust in Him also. When you go to the book of Job, you know, Job lost all his children, all his possessions in one day. All his children, all his possessions. I don't even want to think about it. You know, and there's a scripture in Job that says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I mean, how is that possible? Something that's going to slay you, you say, no matter, I'm going to trust him. You know, the only way that is possible is if you know God's character. You know that even if he slays you, it's going to be for your benefit. Okay, you have to believe that even if God, even if something happens that looks as if God intended something for your harm, it's for your benefit because God loves you. And that is why Job could say that, because he knew God's character. You know, and if we trust him, we say, even if my husband or my wife never change, I'm praying for this change, God, it's not happening. Even if your dream never comes true, your dream, your desire, that thing that keeps you alive, even if it never comes true, even if your prayer does not get answered, and even if something bad happens to you in the past or in the future, we must be able to say, God, I trust in you. And it's not easy. I'm tackling a difficult thing tonight, but I feel in my heart we need to just shatter the lies from the enemy that says God is not in the picture. Look at the world. Where's God? God is all over your life. He's all over. He's written. He's written. Just the fact that you are alive today, just the fact that you sit here tonight in the service, means that God is all over your life and He loves you. And He cares for you. So, just to end off, how do you deal with, maybe you say, okay, Sonika, that's fine. I'm understanding this delighting yourself in the Lord thing, but I'm sitting with this pain. I don't know what to do with it. What do I do with it? I'm sitting with something in my stomach that's getting me down. You know, and when I was praying about this sermon, God gave me that picture of that woman in the Bible who had the problem with the blood flowing for 12 years. You know, and it was a crowd, and Jesus was actually on his way to heal somebody else. He wasn't focused on her. And she said to herself, if only I can touch him. You know, through the crowd, if only I can just crawl and touch his garment. Just touch him. I'm going to be healed. That's what she believed. You know, and I want to hold this. And it's amazing that the picture Andre saw as well during the worship, because this is exactly, you know, what God was showing me, that if you have a desire tonight, if you need healing, if you need something to be restored in your life, I believe God wants us to come, to crawl if it's necessary. If you can't walk, you know, if you feel even you can't even walk to Jesus, you need to crawl. Just touch him. Just touch small piece of his garment, and he's going to reach out to you. He's going to reach out to you. And the result of that, I believe with all of my heart, is, you know, there's scripture in Revelation that where Jesus talks about the new heaven and the new earth. It's so beautiful. And he says there, "Behold, I make all things new." The very last portion, "Behold, I make all things new." And I want you to take that thing in your heart. I believe all of you have maybe something. If you don't have something, praise God. If there's nothing in your heart, you know, a deepest desire that's not met, or a hurt or a pain, praise God. But if there's something, take it. Take it in your hands and picture that whole thing being made new. Picture. Picture that whole thing being made new. You know, like the scripture in Isaiah, God can turn ashes. You know, when you had your nice choppy last night, your nice little scalp choppy, and you know, and you had a braai, and there's just ashes. You know, it really looks as if, I mean, how can something beautiful come out of ashes? I mean, it's really ashes. And I want you to picture that thing in your heart and see that the ashes becomes beautiful again. That if you're mourning, if your heart is so sore that God gives you the oil of joy, He gives you joy again in that area. Or if you're so heavy, if you're so down, if you feel that all that you want to do is cry and put your head in the sand and disappear from the earth, God wants to give you the garment of praise. Okay, do you believe it? I believe with all of my heart, God wants to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I want to ask Ashley just to come up. God did so many amazing things in her life, and she's bold enough tonight to share a little bit with you. So just receive her with grace. And you know, she just basically, everything I was talking about, she's going to summarize it for you in her testimony. So just, you know, give her a hand.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, Sonika and I were having coffee and just talking about all sorts of things and that. And when I was speaking about one thing in particular, she said that it ties in quite well with what she's preaching about tonight. And she asked if I'd give a 5-minute testimony. And my initial reaction was, ha, ha, funny joke, because anyone who knows me knows that I have this gut-wrenching fear of being in the spotlight. But that verse in Philippians is so true. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, because here I am. Amen. Yeah, basically last year I was in a long-term relationship and God started saying that I needed to get out. And I was just like, no, thank you. I'm quite happy where I am. There's just no ways. And, you know, the more I started, you know, trying to make a deal with God or bargain with God, the louder His voice got in saying that, actually, it's time to get out. So out of obedience, I ended the relationship, and I was so angry with God. I was, it's just like I wanted nothing to do with Him. And, you know, it was so bad, you could go as far as saying that I hated God. And I was just in such a bad place. But a special friend of mine organized for Andre to come see me, and we spoke, and he gave me a verse to read, Psalm 62, verse 5-8, which basically says, "Find rest, O my soul, for my salvation and my strength comes from Him, and He's my fortress." And then the last line says, "Pour out your heart to me," which I thought, I can do that. You know, I'm going to give God a piece of my mind. And I cried and I screamed and I shouted and I really like let loose. And it was so amazing, like a light bulb moment, how God just, the moment I decided to get real with God, I realized how real he wanted to get with me. Just give me a second. Yeah. You know, and like, and amongst the storm and the turmoil and the anger and all those negative emotions, I couldn't comprehend what God was doing in my life. But, you know, I've come to realize that God is sitting up in heaven and he has this bird's eye view over my life and he can see exactly where I need to be. Oh, man, I didn't realize it would be so hard. He can see exactly where I need to be and the paths that I need to take in order to get there. And, you know, I see myself as this tree, and sometimes God has to prune my branches of certain things, and the pruning process is extremely painful and not enjoyable at all. But afterwards, I'm able to grow so much more, and the fruit that I bear is just so much better. You know, that verse in Jeremiah 29:11 is so true, and it's so true to my heart. You know, God plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Now, not many of you know my whole life story. A breakup is not the only thing I've had to go through. That's kind of like the cherry on top of a long list of unfortunate life experiences. I've had to go through some heavy, heavy stuff where at times I've questioned, you know, does God really exist? How can one person have to go through half the stuff I've had to go through? But, you know, looking back over my life over the last 6 months, six, 7 months, I think to myself, how can I question God's motives for my life? Like, he is so good. And no matter how deep the cut is or how festering the wound is, he can bring absolute healing. And I mean, trust me, ask Andre or Sandra, you are speaking to the biggest skeptic here. I mean, I was really just like, but, you know, I'm a living, walking example of how awesome God works. He's just absolutely mind-blowing, and he only has one condition, and it's just you've got to be willing to receive the healing. You've got to open yourself up to the restoration, and it is so worth it. And it's not easy to let go of the security blanket or the things that are, you know, that you're carrying with you, but once you do and your hands are free, you're so much more useful with your hands out than, you know, trying to carry all this stuff. And, you know, it's impossible to share what all God's done in my life in the last, I mean, in 5 minutes. But he has just been so amazing. And I just want to take this moment while the spotlight's on me to just turn the spotlight on God and just give him all the glory, because he's just performed miracle upon miracle in my life, and it's just, it's amazing.
Thanks, Ashley. You know what? God can do it for you. He can, and this is why I wanted Ashley to share, because sometimes it's just good to know that God is actually working now, not only 1,000 years ago or 10 years ago, but God is real today. He's real. He loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to turn your ashes into beauty. He really wants to. I want Nicolette to minister a song to you. And you're probably not going to know it, so you don't have to sing along. But I want you, if you want to close your eyes, you're welcome. But it's just a song where God's saying, I want you to come. I want you to come to me. Nothing you can do can make me love you more. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can put on the table. And maybe you feel tonight you have nothing to put on the table. You have nothing to give, which is fine. You know, God says, all I want you to do is come. It's like Ashley said, all you need to do is to be willing to receive healing, to receive God's love. So if you can close your eyes, you can just sit down. Can we put the words on? And Nicolette, and you can just minister that song. Thank you.
Before the world began, you were on his mind. every tear you cry is precious in His eyes. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son, and everything was done so You would come. Nothing You can do could make Him love You more, and nothing that You've done could make Him close the door. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son, and everything was done so You would come to the Father. Though Your gift is small, broken hearts and broken lives, He will take them all. The power of His word, the power of His blood, and everything was done so You would come. Nothing You can do can make Him love You more. Nothing that You've done can make Him close the door. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son, and everything was done so You would come to the Father. Though Your gift is small, broken hearts and broken lives, He will take them all. The power of His word, the power of His blood, everything was done so You would come to the Father. Though Your gift is small, broken hearts and broken lives, He will take them all. The power of His word, the power of His blood, and everything was done so You would come. Everything was done so You would come.
Just as the band continues playing for us, sometimes, I don't know, guys, maybe this was really too girly for you. I don't know. Some guys think, well, the mana stuff, you know. But even with us guys, sometimes we have a tendency to hide stuff away. You know, when I came to God, knowing God when I was 19, at the age of 19, I had so many issues. What about being 30, 40, 50, 60? The things, sorry, Brian, it adds up, man, adds up. But God can and wants to heal us. And Ashley, what she shared is so amazing. 6 months ago, it was scary. She was in a bad place, and God miraculously transformed her in 5 or 6 months. He can do the same for you. You know, so I want us to, could we maybe stand, if you could stand with me, please. Maybe as Sonika was ministering, maybe you feel, or maybe you realize that there's some stuff in your heart that needs to be dealt with. There's some healing that needs to be done. If that is so, I want you to take a bold step to come stand here in front, because we want to pray with you as we're going to have communion. You're basically saying, God, I'm opening my heart right now. As Ashley said, that's so true. You needn't do anything except say, God, here I am. So if there's anybody that we saw bold to come forward, I'm sure there's quite a few. Please take the moment right now. Achter kom nou mensen toe. I'm sure there's a few of you. Come and stand. So we're going to trust the Lord to start a process of healing in your lives. Just come a bit forward. Come and stand over there. Space. Thank you, God. And maybe it's just your identity, just how you view yourself or see yourself. Also, just come and stand here in front. You're basically just saying, God, I'm coming to you. Jesus, I'm walking these few steps, but I'm saying to you, God, here I am. Here's my heart. Make space for the guys. Yes, come forward, come stand. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. If there's anybody else, you're also welcome. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, God, that you love us so much. Lord, and we celebrate the lives you have changed, God. We celebrate what you've done in Ashley's life, God. We celebrate what you've done in so many of our lives, Lord. And God, we thank you that that is the very reason, the very purpose, Lord God, why we exist, why you died on the cross, so you can change us, transform us, heal us, set us free. And so, Father, we pray. God, we thank you that we can have communion, which represents the body of Christ. Jesus, we thank you that we can say, it is done on the cross. All we need, everything we need has been done on the cross. And Lord, as we partake of this bread, which symbolizes your body, we pray. Heal us. We pray, come and restore us. Lord, this bread which represents your body is proof that you love us so much. Because who would die for a miserable bunch like mankind? Selfish, hurting one another, wounding one another. Oh God, there's so many reasons why you shouldn't have done this for us, but you did. So we thank you for this bread which represents the body, the broken body of Christ. You were broken so that we can be healed. Just take a moment and thank God. Just pray where you're standing and say, Lord, thank you for your body that was broken so that my heart and my body and my life can be healed. Just thank him. Just take a moment to thank him. And just say, Lord, I receive that healing now. Receive that healing. Let's eat together the bread. Let's eat the bread. Maybe just say that. Say, thank you, Lord, for my healing. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. But I can receive it. Lord, I receive healing right now in my heart and in my body. In Jesus' name. So God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, for the remission of sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood, when we put our trust in you, all our sins are washed away. Would you be so bold to say, I believe in Jesus? I put my trust in Jesus Christ. And I receive the shed blood of Jesus. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. Can I just have some counselors here in front? Small group leaders? Anybody that can come and pray? Guys, ladies, come forward. Just come and pray with him. I need a few guys. Foden, Dane, come. Luke, Steph, yeah, come.